Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back, we are back. Welcome to another crazy, edition of the Absolute Truth Show, right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, with the most, the King of King himself. I am the Hot Rod. And on the phone line, I have the one, the only, unfortunately.
You mean unfortunately, anyway. It's the Ying to the Hot Rod Yang. It is Sean Black in the building once again. I have to bring you balance.
Okay, yeah, whatever. Please don't even start pissing me off yet. Okay,
trust me. You need balance, and I'm the one that has to help balance you out.
Okay, the telephone number for you guys to call. Excuse me. All your questions, or comments, or thoughts is 347-989-8402. Oh my God, excuse me. 347-989-8402. Yes.
I guess
ladies.
I really got to you this one.
Yeah, I'm exhausted. Oh well. Hold on, let me get Tisha on the line. Hello, Tisha.
Hey y'all. I just heard you say I'm exhausted, and I'm like, I'm exhausted too.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have been exhausted for this last week.
Yeah.
Okay.
How you guys?
Oh, guys. All right. We ready to set some people off.
Yeah.
I see another call on the line. I will get to you, 877, in a few minutes. There's some things I want to get off of my chest, you know. To all the Trump supporters out there, I'm not really attacking the Trump supporters, but I like the Trump supporters to call us and try to explain to me and make me understand what's going on lately with his parents and children being separated and being locked up in cages for immigration. Sean and I talked many times, along with other people on the panel. We have discussed many times on the show that, yes, immigration is a problem in America and needs to be controlled. But let's be honest, there will never be a solid solution towards immigration because, let's be honest, to a certain degree, we do need immigration. This has to be controlled. But to come to a point where Trump administration go out to the border to make a statement and take people from the border and lock them up. I understand they're in warehouses in Texas and other places, but it seemed like they locked them in cages like rat dogs. But to separate parents, mothers, and fathers from their own children, do you see any heartache? Don't you see any passion? Oh, I'm just trying to find the right words. Do you see any problem with this problem at all, Tisha, as a parent that you are?
That's what I was just thinking about. As a parent, yes, I do, because then what's the point of ripping them from their parents just to put them in a kind of situation like this? And what I look at also later on, things have what they're doing now will have, like, traumatic effects on these kids as they're growing up. And it's very unfortunate, and they do look like animals. I don't care if people saying, oh, they're just there, you know, for now and so forth. It's going to have long-term effects on them, you caging them like animals. And my thing about that is, like, his response was just nonchalant, and then he turned and blamed it on the Democrats if we could come up with a solution. How about you draw up a solution? Why are we ripping them from their parents just to put them in cages? It's heartbreaking.
I think, before I head to Sean, I think the point of this taking people away is Trump making a statement and trying to blame the Democrats for not supporting his wall. So all this is trying to make an agenda, making a point because he's not getting his wall. So you know what? Let's take this step forward.
Mm-hmm.
Sean,
mm-hmm.
What is your intake on this situation?
The one thing that we always talk about when it comes to anything political is the buzzword we talk about is optics, how it appears to the eye, how it appears on the periphery to other people that are watching it, whether they are involved in it directly or however indirectly they may be connected to it. What we have is a policy that has been around for quite some time as far as what past presidents are doing. To be fair, a lot of these policies that have happened that have been in place have happened before Trump got into office, as far as going back to George W. Bush, to Clinton, and to Obama. What we've seen are people being deported. And even under President Obama, he probably deported more people on his watch than any other president that I can remember in recent history. The difference here is that they were deporting other people back to where they came from and putting them in these detention camps. The one thing that they were not doing was separating families, whereas you're having husbands and wives and children now being separate. We saw, as you stated a little earlier, we saw pictures on the news and in the newspapers of kids, 4, 5 years old, 10 years old, 11 years old, in what amounts to be like a giant cage, like a kennel almost. And from what we're seeing, it smacks of being inhumane. It smacks of being cruel. It also smacks of being absolutely unempathetic. Because if you're going to separate families away from other people, if you're trying to make sure that somebody is coming across the border illegally and you're trying to enforce this policy, then you don't have to actually go and do the extremes of what they're doing now, which are taking toddlers and two-year-olds. There was a picture of a two-year-old crying while the mother was being arrested and taken away. We already have in the New York area of a pizza delivery guy who is being now detained and maybe deported to Mexico after his record was looked up and was shown that he either had a warrant or whatever was the case, and he's being deported. He's looking right now. He may be deported to Mexico. So what we're
seeing
with
that,
now...
Well, with that story, Sean, excuse me.
Yeah.
With that story, what really what pissed a lot of people off with the delivery man delivering in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
He had been delivered to that base for quite some time. So
yeah.
People really believe there's probably a hidden agenda. Someone probably took it personal. So I'm like, you know what? This delivery guy pissed me off for whatever reason there is. Decided to do an investigation and find out about it. I'm like, why do you want to mess up with someone that's been delivering food for you for quite some time?
Yes.
I'm
and
like,
the
do you
argument...
see any... Go ahead.
Yeah, the argument behind the reason why all of these things are happening is the same tropes that President Trump and the Attorney General Jeff Sessions has been saying, because they feel that terrorism may happen, drug smuggling may happen, bringing in illegal immigrants into the country, and they have to get better border patrol, better protection to protect the borders, to make sure that you don't get that from happening. I do not see how on this planet, where the United States is looked at as a beacon of hope for immigrants from other countries to come in and be free and try to be free, even though trying to get a legal way of getting in, I'm pretty sure a huge majority of immigrants that have come here that have made it big have family members that were brought here illegally. And to bring
well, everybody
there,
was brought here illegally.
Exactly.
That's what America was based on. You know what I mean? So
exactly.
They need to stop.
But
the
families ripped apart, how is that going to bear any difference on terrorism or anything else that you feel is a negative toward the United States? To taking a two-year-old, I heard a story about a person who went to the detention camps to see what was going on and saw a one-year-old basically ripped apart from their mother, who was still breastfeeding at the time. What is the United States going to do now with these children who are not only separated from their mothers? This is tantamount to child abuse in a lot of ways, because if these children grow up to be quote-unquote productive and or healthy, how is that psychologically, physiologically going to factor in on what these children are going to go through, the scars that that's going to leave, knowing that their parents, they may never see their kids again? Who knows where their kids are?
Okay, 877, you're on the air. What do you like to say?
Hi, everybody. It's Rima.
Hey,
Rima.
Rima. Welcome back. We miss you.
Thank you. It's good. I miss
okay.
you guys, too. I'm back.
Yeah, okay, hey, Rima, before you start, you had suggested a book about maybe 2 months ago called Invisible No More. I actually picked up the book. I haven't read it yet, but I'm thanking you for the suggestion that you made when you had brought it up on the air one time that you called.
Oh,
wait
no problem.
Wait a minute. Sean Black had money to go buy a book? Or you stole
that
book?
Wait a minute.
It's definitely worth the read. I will say that.
He collected his bottles and, you know how that goes.
Collected his bottles. He went to the public library and used a fake name and, you know, be careful, Sean Black. Ice might be after you. So, Rima, what is your thoughts, about what's going on with his family being separated and being placed, quote-unquote, in cages or concentration camps, the new version?
Okay, so I have a couple of points. First, the latest statement that was made towards them wanting to control the borders and keep terrorism out, this whole fear of terrorism. I think that Donald Trump had utilized this immigration talk and anti-Islamic talk and, you know, putting the fear back in people that we could be terrorized so that he can be in office. But the reality is that the concern is not about people physically going over a border or climbing over a wall or even building a wall. They're going to invest all the money that they need to in there, but times have changed. This is 2018. Technology is drastically changing. The average person who's on top of technology cannot even keep up with how rapid it's changing in terms of how missiles are able to reach, how drones are able to be reached without being recognized by whatever, you know, they may have to try to recognize them at the time. You know what I'm saying? So that's one thing where I don't really believe in that controlling the borders in that way is going to be effective. Two, with them caging children in the way that they're caging children, I'm not sure if it was Sean Black who said that that's considered child abuse. I believe it definitely is considered child abuse. According to the United Nations Human Rights Declaration that protects children from this exact type of treatment. But here in the United States, what we convince ourselves is that when people are from another country, they're aliens. Legally, the term alien. They're different from us. And that is the same kind of context and language that they use when they're talking about criminals. They dehumanize you first so that people don't realize that this is a human being who bleeds, eats, and pisses just like you do. And so with that being said, I would say that they are violating the law because even, you know how ACS, Administrative Child Services, used to take the children from the homes back in the day?
Yeah.
You were hearing about that for, like, drug cases? Well, currently today, they changed the laws around that and said that there has been significant studies that shows that even a child that is being abused when they are removed from the home have significant trauma and delays if they're under five, developmental delays. There's a lot of trauma that's involved with that, even if they are being abused. So these kids are not being abused. It's having even a worse effect. And America is creating that. Why? Because they don't have any laws governing how these children should be treated, because even the worst person that they target, which is quote-unquote criminals, there's laws and guidelines that says there's still certain rights that a criminal does not, quote-unquote criminal, does not lose. That's your right to be treated humane. You still have certain human rights as a human being. You can never lose that. And so it's saddening to see them treating not only the parents like that, but to separate the kids in that way. And my last point on that is that they're very conscious of what they're doing. They're going to tell the public one thing, and they know really what they're doing is continuing another form of slavery, because while everybody's understanding that this criminal justice system is not going to last long, because there's movies like the 13th documentary that clearly exposes it for what it is, another continuation of slavery and a way to keep black people in prison by all these sentencing laws, et cetera, et cetera. It's a mass incarceration. It's not going to last because that's been exposed. So now they have to create something new that's going to create that type of revenue that they need. In the same way that they was separating slaves from the children from their parents at that time.
Breathe, Wemo. Breathe, girl. It's okay. Let it out. Breathe.
And the funny thing about that entire thing is the fact that not only Democrats, but a lot of Republicans have gone on to basically condemn this zero tolerance policy that the president put in. Now, the funny thing about this is, was mentioned that the president said that he blamed the Democrats initially for this being the case, when this zero tolerance policy only came to be within the last 3 or 4 months under Trump's guise. So this is more of that deflection that the current administration has done to try to keep the real heat off of where it's supposed to go.
Right, their same blame game that they started with,
Before I go to Cato, I'd just like to add on to this. I just find it funny how even a senator in New Jersey or a congressperson, I don't know, was saying that, you know, he doesn't want his daughter to be dealing with a rapist and a drug dealer. And, you know, so you know, the typical bias. It's funny how most Americans, or let me just say it, white men, are saying these things. But if you look at the school shooting, are the schools should have been done by Mexicans or blacks or other Latino, or are they being done by whites? So we're concerned about terrorists overall. I think we need to look at our own self before we look at other people. But K-Dog, you got 5 minutes on this topic. Go right ahead.
Hey, what's up, y'all? First up, I got to say what's up to everybody. Hey, Rima, I got to give you a lot of credit. Good point, sister, good point. And to everybody, I'm just going to say this. This is the most inhumane act ever. I mean, these children, separating children from their families, breaking up families, this is, in fact, a part of modern-day slavery. And with all of this going on, everyone's quick to call, oh, these people are criminals. But yet, no one's calling anybody else a criminal. How come they didn't call that kid who shot up that school a criminal? How come no one's calling him that? But they're quick to call out non-white criminals and call them animals, terrorists, and all of that. But yet, you don't see the kind of terrorism that's going on in your own backyard. And what they're doing to these children is just horrible. They're going to leave these children traumatized. I saw on television as a mother was crying for her husband who was detained. And they showed the treatment that these people are going through behind bars. I mean, it's just downright wrong.
All right. It's crazy overall. But, Sean, I need to go to the next topic because we have a lot to talk about. There's an incident that happened in Waffle House. Seemed like there have been a lot of incidents that be happening at Waffle House lately. Number one, I don't eat Waffle House. I don't care. And Sean and I was arguing about it because, you know, Sean is a sensitive one, and I just don't care. So, Sean, what's the latest incident that happened at the Waffle House you want to discuss?
Okay. Well, this incident actually happened in May, but was brought to the attention of everybody over the last week, where in Fort Walton Beach, Florida, a couple went to dine at a Waffle House and got into a dispute, so to speak, over a price, kind of like a price dispute. Went to order some food, were charged extra for something that they never got. Went to talk to the cashier, the person behind, I believe it was the waiter that gave them their food. Asked them why they got their bill, why their bill was as high as it was, and they didn't even get their food. What ended up happening was the person that they went to, that was, I believe, the manager of that Waffle House, stop me if you've heard this before, called the cops. The cops come in, ask the person, come on out. The person comes on out with his hands up. I've done nothing. I'm just trying to find out what's going on with my bill. Cops tell them to come on outside. They get into to discuss what's going on. Eventually, what ends up happening is the quote-unquote arresting officer pulled out his taser, put it to the man's chest. His partner, providing backup, with the body cam filming, he pulls out his taser. What eventually happens, nobody gets shot, thank God. Nobody was killed, thank God. But this man was arrested in a dispute over pricing for something that was not even given. Was overpriced for something and didn't even get their food. So there was no good exchange back and forth or whatever. And this is the kind of stuff that continues to happen. Now, Hot Rod and I, as he stated earlier, we got into a discussion about this when I told him the story. Hot Rod, you tell them what your opinion was of the story, and then I'll dispute what you say. So you go in.
Well, bottom line, I said, why as generally black people, why are we continuing to support these businesses if we know there's a lot of trend going on, especially in those areas like Florida or the redneck area? If we know there's a trend of people, of these businesses, they're not want black people in their establishment, why continue? The same way, if the guy does not want to bake a cake for the gay couple, he won his case, right? He has his right. Us black people overall, we say this a million times, need to take our business somewhere else. If you do not like my kind, why should I give him my business? Yes, what happened was wrong. Yes, I agree, what happened was wrong. But guess what? This is seem like a trending thing right now. If black people or people in general stop going to the Waffle House, trust me, things will be changed. But since black people still going to Waffle House, I have or anything, guess what? These little incidents are going to continue to keep happening over and over. So we need to stick together. Like Brother B said many times, overall, our major problem is we pick and choose our battle. So guess what? If Waffle House, this is like the third or fourth time the incident happened, guess what? Waffle House don't want black people business. So why are we going back there and then we get upset when we see this incident happen over and over? I blame the couple for going over there. I mean, you didn't tell the whole story. Yes, there was an altercation, but at the same time, they were getting loud with the officer shot. You failed to mention that. So
I was giving it to you so that you can get your point across. Yeah. But there was fault on both sides.
But when you get loud with officers, especially what's going on today, with a fear,
you can't risk it.
Cooperate, comply, and take it from there. But that did not happen, so that's why the taser got out.
But sometimes people do cooperate and comply, and it still happens. So we're paying for to be discriminated against, and people have to understand that when they want to go for the waffles, chicken and waffles, isn't that their motto? So it's like, come on, we're paying to be discriminated against.
Yeah. Now,
Teacher, and Teacher, and overall, from that statement, who do you blame? Overall, if you have to pick, we have to take blame. We pay for discrimination. You're right.
You know what it is, Hot Rod? And I remember I'm sorry for interrupting, but time and time again, we see these things happen, not just at Waffle House, but we see it happen in department stores, but yet we still shop at these department stores. Even though we face discrimination, we face humiliation, we still go to them. We still put money in their pockets. We still invest in them, and we shouldn't be doing that. It's time to take when we say take a stand, once again, I'm sure a lot of you will agree with me. We take a stand, we get upset one day, and the next day it's business as usual. It makes no sense.
And so, Rima, Tisha, for the ladies, I'm not saying you in general, how many beauty stores are owned by Korean? Hair supplies owned by Asian people? Many, right?
A lot. It's very, very interesting because remember I studied cosmetology in high school, and it was a lot of, black females. We didn't really have, Asians and Koreans and stuff in our classes unless it was for, nails and things like that. So they took over that business and spas and things like that, and we still go to them. You're getting fungal infections because they're not switching up on the nail polish and things like that, but we still tend to go to them.
We're experiencing certain things.
It's like, come on.
Rima, can you explain that to me?
Well, there's this YouTube video out, and it's called How to Sell to the Negro.
Yes, I've seen that one.
Yeah, it was based in the 60s. And I think it is powerful because the problem is that a lot of black kids, because as they get to adults, they still have the same mindset that we can't be owners too, you know. And a lot of times, you know, when you talk about the restaurant and why do people continue to be there, it's in the South. It's probably not like New York City where there's a corner store in every corner, you know, a couple blocks down. There may be a restaurant anywhere. That may be the only Waffle House in the in the neighborhood. And, you know, for white people to be to own a Waffle House with chicken and waffles, which is a Southern black thing, you know, culturally that's part of the black community, they know exactly who they're actually selling to, you know. But the level of respect is not going to be there, because the same way when the civil rights movement took place, we're not boarding these buses, we're not buying your stuff, you won't have our money. And I think if more people watch that video and understand that, a lot in those times, at that time in the 60s, when black people started to gain respect, is because they've been plotting on our money the whole time and calculating it, and they wanted a piece of it. And in order to get a piece of it, they had to dissect us in that way. And what that shows is that we have a lot of power if we don't give them our money. The same thing with the weave.
That's what I'm saying.
The same thing with the weave, like you said, that's another thing. It's a billion-dollar business, but who has access to that data in that way? And who has time? Because time is worth more than money. Because if you have the time, then you can, you know, plan, plot, and strategize on how to get that money. And we don't have that time.
In other words, ladies and gentlemen, I think to you, Sean, but most black people, we learn how to survive. And that's all we know overall, how to survive. Most black people don't know how to build or how to create or how to move on. Right now, we're in the survival movement. I'm surviving not to get shot. I'm surviving not to get arrested. I'm surviving trying to feed my family overall.
Yeah, it's true.
And we're not surviving.
You're right about that.
But, Sean Black, what is your intake on that?
Now,
you have 5 minutes.
While everything you said is absolutely spot on as far as trying to learn and make sure all of that is where it's supposed to be, people don't understand that the African American dollar spent in this country is worth $1.1 trillion a year. That's how much money African Americans spend in money in anything commerce wise in the United States. With that being said, as I stated to you privately when we had this conversation, to blame the victim, who we know this couple, although they were a little bit antagonistic with the police officer, but not to the extent where there should have been anything going back and forth. To blame the victim is almost like blaming the person that got shot for being in front of the bullet. And this is the reason why I say this. When you think of any business, and you go to a business, we know, like you said, Waffle Houses have been in the news, especially with African Americans going forward. You are not in the back of your mind, unless you really are that cynical, no one is really actually expecting every single spot that they go to that is going to treat them that way. And in the back of their minds, as Rima stated earlier, that could have been the only Waffle House near them. It was, I think, 2 in the morning. Maybe it was some sort of a celebration that they were doing at that particular time and they couldn't get anywhere else. Maybe that was the case. The problem is identifying why they were victims to begin with, which goes to your point, Hot Rod, as far as getting businesses to learn and get themselves out there so that this kind of thing doesn't happen. The African-American dollar is much more powerful than a lot of people think, which is the reason why you see so many businesses cater to African-Americans, but they don't want African-Americans to actually have the power to use that dollar in their own way, for their own communities, and et cetera. I'll give you an example. We've seen commercials for a popular candy bar deal, and they do these commercials where one part looks like it's two commercials set in the 80s, one looks like it was done during the Miami Vice-type deal, and this was done towards, quote-unquote, white America. Then you see the other candy bar commercial that's set in the 80s, and there's prominently African-Americans in it. I think you might know what I'm talking about without me telling you what candy bar it is. And you see them dancing around and cooning and showing you this and showing you that. there's a complete juxtaposition between those two identities, and that's because they're catering towards two audiences. One thinks of the 80s in that sense in one way. The other think of the 80s in a different way. And a lot of people may look at it in that sense. But if you're an African-American, you're looking at both of those completely different than everyone else. So this goes to the root, much more of the root of the problem than saying, well, boycott everything. To some degree, yeah, we know that this has become a pattern, but to take that African-American dollar and get behind something that is going to make sure that this doesn't happen again, that is when something will really happen. But to look at the victims, and blame them, I'm not going to put the blame on that.
Sean, not to contradict what you just said, you just say African or black American spent $1 trillion.
Yes.
You don't see that as a problem that black people are the most people who are spending compared to Asian, Indian, white people who are mostly investing their money? There's a difference between investing and spending. If we're spending that much money and not investing, that's a problem, Sean.
And this is the reason why I say that they are victims because they have not been taught how to use that money in the right way. That's what makes them victims. If you're in a situation where, as an African American, you've never had money, and then you finally have money, you're not taught about credit, having a great credit score, learning about credit cards per annum versus per diem. You're not learning about certain percentages and APRs. Those kinds of things you have to learn. And in the African-American community, most people are not being taught that. They're learning it the hard way, i.e., they've already tricked up their card, trying to catch up with the Joneses. And that's what
they're also looking at one another and being in competition. So
exactly.
You got those pair of Jordans, I need those pair of Jordans. You
mm-hmm.
go into
and
different
you know
communities
what?
And you see how certain children are dressed. They're dressed to go to school. They're dressed to learn. You understand what I'm saying? They're not thinking about the next Jordans. But you come in certain communities, oh, man, I got to keep up with that person and this mm-hmm. person, and I got to wear this and that and Gucci. And you know, but you're not having that Gucci money in your
bank
account.
Exactly.
You know,
okay.
There's a thing that I bring up.
I have to give it to K-Dog. Go ahead, K-Dog.
Sorry. Everybody listen. There's something I always say that says, you cannot buy a Cadillac by hoopty means, which means if you can't afford it, don't buy it. And the problem is with us as a people, we need to be educated on how to be financially secure. The bottom line is being financially secure.
Okay.
If you're going to, you have to use your money the wise way. And you know what? Again, like you said to you about the whole thing with the Jordan, you don't need to buy those Air Jordans, especially like you said, Sean, about the whole credit score. Especially if you owe mad credit cards, if you're heavily in debt, that's not good. Because you know what? You're going to be broke if you're going to have to pay all those things back.
Rima, anything you'd like to add on?
I'd like to say that I think more than being financially secure, I think mm-hmm. that a lot of people need to be just secure within themselves and have high self-esteem to know that,
mm-hmm.
you know, they don't need
exactly.
those things to feel like they are somebody. In the same way that
exactly.
sometimes I've heard people say that they spend their money in places that disrespect them as a way to show them that they have money. So if they may have came in, you know, and they think that maybe you don't have money, then they end up overspending and it's sending the wrong message. It's just like
exactly.
more disrespect you're subjecting yourself to.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let me go to Brother B before I go to the next topic. Brother B, are you there?
Hey, Brother B, what's up? Brother B. Brother B, man.
Okay, I'll go back to Brother B later on. Okay, on to the final topic, ladies and gentlemen. In honor of gay, this month, June is Gay Pride Month. Go ahead, Sean. You go, boy. I'm so proud of you, Sean. But other than that, once again, I'm bringing this topic up, not to attack the gay, lesbian, transgender, but you know what, as we discussed last week, we want everyone to understand what's going on in the world today. So bottom line, because Tisha brought up this topic about a story about a young boy knowing that he's gay, I believe at the age of 7 years old. So
yes,
ladies and gentlemen, basically, bottom line, is being gay, you think, is a matter of genetics or is a choice? Reba, I'll start with you. You are our special guest tonight.
I'm sorry, I missed the question.
Is being gay a matter of choice or genetics?
I say both.
Why?
I say both. Why? Because, first of all, it makes sense logically. Second of all, I remember in a sociological class of mine that there has been research and studies done that prove that people were, A, born gay, and we know, logically, we know people aren't, and something maybe traumatic happened to them that make them go towards the opposite sex, i.e., being raped as a child or being raped as an adult or being, you know, going through domestic violence, things of that nature. But as far as people being born that way, there are people who reject their sexuality because of societal views on homosexuality. So there has been studies proven that there are people who are born gay, and there's different categories of that. There's people who's born gay, you know, they have to come out or they end up staying in the closet, right? Those are the common ones. But there's also studies that show that there's people who are born gay and they reject their sexuality due to the societal views. And those be mainly the guys or women, mostly guys, who target other gay people.
K-Dog?
Well, you know what it is when it comes down to that. True, it is genetic that people were born gay. Because, you know, when you speak to a gay person, you ask them, you know, were yours this way? And the first answer they'll say is yes, that they've always been gay. But also, like Rima said, there are traumatic experiences that a lot of people go through that leads them to want to be happy and to feel that love that they go to the same sex. Now,
hello.
With that...
I'm sorry, kid. I have another call. 347.
Oh, hello. This is Sapphire. I'm so sorry. I don't want to interrupt the gentleman so he can finish and I'll continue after.
Okay,
hey, what's up,
ahead.
Sapphire? All right. So, you know, with that being said, it's you know, I see it as both. But also with genetics, yes, it does happen because, you know what, in history, if you look at it, a lot of things in history, there have been people for centuries, and you look back years and years later that we found out that they were hiding their homosexuality because of what society would think of them or their images would be tarnished. And for years and years, you find out years later when some of them have died years ago, that's when you find out so-and-so was gay. And they hid it. They had to hide it because they were afraid to come out.
Okay,
you know?
Sapphire, take it away.
Hey, yes. Thank you for having me on the show once again.
What's up?
So, I do believe that it is definitely genetic. I do believe it's both, but mainly genetic because not only in humans does it show that, but it also shows that in animals. And I'm not comparing animals to homosexuality to animals, but you can see in chimpanzees and their groups, they show a lot of females having sexual encounters with each other and males also having sexual encounters with each other. Even in cats, they do the same thing. Obviously, they cannot reproduce, but what would have shown them that this is not a learned behavior? You see what I'm saying? And also with if you go back in time, obviously there has been it's proven that there's so many people that have, this is not a new thing. You know, people have been gay for a long time. And even the Greeks have believed that Yes, the Greeks have I'm going off of what you said. The Greeks have believed that actually homosexuality was the purest of love, because you weren't loving somebody for what they can do for you, which is reproduction, but you were actually loving somebody for who they were. So, I mean, it can go both ways. Now, when it goes to choice, I do go off of what Rima has said, that it could be a traumatic experience that has made someone feel like they don't want to be with their own opposite sex anymore, and they may want to explore something else. And then they also may have something where they're trying to hide it, because it can be ancestral. It can be passed on. People may not even understand what they're feeling because it's genetic. So I definitely do agree with it being both ways.
Well, before I go to the other guys, if I have to choose, I would say more of a choice. I mean, of course, it could go both ways, generic and choice, but I think it's more of a choice because of a sexual preference. It's like, I chose to be heterosexual. So I feel the same way as someone could be homosexual at the same time. But that is my opinion, but I'll go more about that later. Tisha, what do you think?
To the panel, you know, I said this last week. I believe that some people are born like that, and it's some people's choice. But overall, my question to everybody on the panel is, why do we care? At the end of the day, if anybody asking me, well, did you have sex last night? You know, it's like, why do we care about what these people are doing behind closed doors?
Exactly.
Can they celebrate their life? Can they just be them with us attacking them? They're not attacking us. Why are we attacking them? And that's the part that I don't like about the whole thing with the gay society, and you have to put a classification on them and things like that. Can people just be who they are? Can they feel free to be who they are? They're not disturbing anyone. That's how I feel.
I'm going to add to that. You know what the problem is?
What's
religion.
The problem?
Religion.
You want to know something what's funny with you saying religion? You have priests that are molesting boys. So you tell me,
exactly.
Are you gay? So help me understand that.
Well, let's see, you know what it is?
Because a lot of these religions.
Hold on one second. When you hear about the priest touching little boys, is that considered gayness?
Well, they're having intercourse with them. You have them having intercourse, not just touching. And they're so religious. Give me a break. They're hiding it behind religion.
And
I think some people are hiding
it
behind religion.
There's a lot of these priests who are molesting little boys. And, of course, there's even some pastors of a church who are living double lives. They may stand on the pulpit
and this is what I'm saying. That's another thing.
And they go and you know what? Next thing you know, you catch them in an act of homosexuality. That's what I said about religion, because you know what? You're fanning the flames of discrimination. You're fanning the flames of an anti-gay movement, because when you're standing there talking about, God hates gays, like you have, for example, the Westboro Baptist Church, who go to every funeral, who stand there and say, oh, God hates gays. But yet, some people who stand there and preach anti-gay settlement are gay themselves.
And you're masking it. I feel like they're masking it behind religion.
Exactly.
So give me a break with that.
Come on now.
But what about the statement that they always preach? In the beginning, God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. You heard that expression before.
But they don't live by it. But not everybody lives by it. That's what I'm saying. They don't live by it. They're preaching all of this.
Well, let's hear from the game master himself, Sean Black. Go ahead.
Brother. Anyway, I look at this whole argument as something. I take a little piece of what everybody has stated. The first thing being a choice or genetic. I believe most, if not almost all, has to be genetic, because as there are heterosexual males and females out there that will discover on their own without any prodding from anyone else. It naturally happens through their own hormones, through genetics. They will become attracted to who they're going to become attracted to. And what we're also seeing is that, which a lot of people will cause a great argument over, is like you said, choice. The choice being, well, I choose, I can't stand men anymore. Let me go and go after women. A female will choose another female. Same with a male will choose another male. I believe a lot of this is genetically coded into a person as far as their DNA. into all of the other things that, that happen naturally, genetically. But what we're in an issue of now is that we are in a society now where we're labeling everything. We talked
mm-hmm.
about this last week where we were seeing people are now trying to put an X on a child who is not even 5 minutes old on their birth certificate to try to make sure that they don't identify with one particular sex over another even after they've just been born without showing any tendencies toward anything else, which makes no sense to me. And in the society that we live in, the predominant judge of why certain things happen, as one of you hit on perfectly, is religion. And religion
mm-hmm.
dictates a lot of what is enforced and what isn't enforced. Yet there's that gigantic pious hypocrisy that happens when religious people condemn someone for doing something and then frivolously
they do it themselves.
Do the exact same thing that they're trying to condemn. So
mm-hmm.
this is part of the bigger issue.
Excuse me, Sean. They ask God for forgiveness when they do this sin.
Like I said, you can't do it.
Oh my gosh. With the,
you cannot raise
hypocrisy.
Hell for six
mm-hmm.
days out of the week, go to church, drop 20 cents into a collection plate, sing a happy song, and think
cents?
All your sins are cured, and then raise hell for another 6 days. It doesn't work that
mm-hmm.
way.
Exactly.
But
mm-hmm.
I like what Tisha brought up, that why this is like a talk about. Unfortunately, it is, because, you know, we're in society today, and today, like your guy said, everything's being labeled now. You know, there's too much options out there.
So hold on.
Mean?
So what can I say something, Hot Rod? Sorry to
go
cut
ahead.
You off with labeling. So why are we not labeling cheating men and things like that? Help me understand that. Why we're not walking around, yeah, saying he's a cheater, labeling them just like we label the gays. This is my point
because,
that I'm making.
No, because I'd be happy to answer that question, because there's not enough
yes.
labels to label all the guys out there. Okay, then
all of you guys would be labeled. Give me a break.
Whoa, ladies, listen to me. I've never, ever cheated on Sean and
Gabe. Well, if I can say something really fast.
Can all you guys say it on the panel? I want to hear all you guys say it on the panel for me, and then I'll believe
okay.
it.
Okay,
oh, my goodness. I do think that it comes down to what people deem as normal. So if people are looking, imagine if the entire world was gay, and then out of the blue, we had two heterosexual people come out. The whole world would be pointing at them and looking at them and saying, well, this is not normal. So
mm-hmm.
it's all what people, because the whole world is supposed to be, quote unquote, heterosexual, and then you have something that is too, that is out of the norm for people to understand because they don't understand it. You understand what I'm saying? Then it's, I can point the finger just because I don't understand it. And because I don't understand it, then I fear it. I fear that it's going to become an epidemic, and then my child is going to be like this, and it's contagious. So it's just all in what people, how people are raised. Yes, it goes with religion too, and it all goes with, you know, people's definition of what they deem normal, which I really don't think normal is even normal, like it's even a real definition anymore. So how can we continue
mm-hmm.
to point the finger at people?
I think normal is defined by what side of the coin you're on, and I think that goes to the person that is calling whatever they feel is normal as normal, and that's part
exactly.
of the problem.
Exactly.
Right. My point. Hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Well, Rima has a point.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Rima.
So as Sapphire said, it goes to what the norm is. And actually, back in, I don't know how the long centuries when, you know, the Greeks ruled, back in those times, maybe 600, 1500, the norm was actually, homosexuality was actually the norm.
Yes,
Until one guy decided, I forget if it was Torah, I think his name was Torah, he decided that because a male-on-male relationship as well as a female-on-female relationship, because they could not bear children, he said that it was a sin and convinced everyone else that it was a sin. That's point one. Point two is that it's all about power and control and keeping people in control and in power in the same way that a lot of different races have been discriminated against in the same way. One time it was the Jews, the Irish, et cetera, then it's the blacks, then it's the criminals, then it's immigrants. You know, everything has its time and its place for who's going to be hated in that way. And a power and control dealing with religion as well. Once upon a time, you couldn't be a free, you couldn't be a free thinker. People told you how to think. You were condemned for thinking anything other than what the church has taught you.
Mm-hmm.
And the church is the biggest culprit in this power and control game, and that's why people,
yes,
you know, like people will question, why is it that the priest, you know, can get away with raping kids, but at the same time condemning other people for homosexuality? And then I would say to the people buying into what the priest and the pope and the pastor is saying about homosexuality, why is it that you choose to hate a group of people, yet you continue to lie, steal, kill, commit adultery, and do everything else that the Bible says that you should not do, like being on your knees and giving blowjobs and having sex while menstruating? You know, these are things that the Bible says, so we can't
Reach
pick
on,
and choose
sister.
What we want to listen to. It doesn't work like that.
Well, then
Reach
that goes
on,
into
sister.
People, you know, picking and choosing things out of the Bible to shape
right,
their
picking
lives.
Picking and choosing what's right, exactly,
so,
from the Bible.
So
yeah.
if I feel like, you know, I don't want anybody to see that I'm committing adultery and fornication and I'm killing
I'm
and raping people,
Bible.
I'm going to use this Bible
mm-hmm.
to show you that you're wrong so that you can't see my faults. So,
okay. Well, okay. Wow, everybody's on fire. But I want to go back to Tisha about this cheating part. Anyone, Tisha?
Yeah.
To ask you a question? I firmly believe female cheats more than men, just that females are better at it than men.
Oh,
men
how fun.
Yes,
can we have another topic for this? Because I don't even hear none of you guys on your panels. Y'all are so quiet with
listen,
that topic. We need another night
no.
for this.
Oh,
I'm going to be vocal. Listen.
I don't need K-Dog.
Everybody,
go ahead, K-Dog.
What up? Nah, everybody, listen. When it comes to cheating, it's an everybody thing.
No, it's
whether
not.
It
I'm
man,
beyond faithful. Or, no, it's not.
No.
Oh,
no. No, that's good. But not everybody is faithful.
Tisha,
you understand?
Please,
not everybody.
I understand.
Not everybody's faithful. Women cheat as well as men do. But
very
you know
true.
What? People like at people will say when a man cheats, he's a Mac. That's the dude right there. But yeah.
Oh, please.
When the woman cheats, she gets called all sorts of names. And, you know, out of respect for you ladies, I'm not going to tell you what kind of names that women cheaters are called.
A slut, whore, come on, we're not saying
exactly.
Yeah, tell us, because this is good.
John
Black
and
Hot Ron, we need another show for this, seriously, guys.
Yep.
Well, you
and
know what?
John
really
Black,
quickly.
Can you help us out? I wanted to hear Sean Black's comment. Sorry.
I look at it.
Oh,
what,
here we go. Here we go.
Yeah, I would love to hear Sean Black's comment.
Drop the knowledge, brother.
Yeah.
The problem that a lot of people are looking at are they go with that labels part, and it's also going into reputation. We've been talking
mm-hmm.
about this ad nauseum about men, the way in this male-dominated society, what's looked at as normal for males and quote-unquote docile females, who does this better, who does that worse, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
What it all boils down to right now is the fact, and yes, Hot Rod, I'm going to talk it into so you can.
Yes, come on. I want to hear Sean's part. Sean always got a lot of knowledge. I love it. Go ahead, Sean.
I think that as you get older, as you start to mature, more men are starting to realize how chauvinistic they have become, or just how tiring it can probably become doing all of this, the nonsense that goes out there. There
mm-hmm.
are men that don't cheat. There are women that don't cheat.
Mm-hmm.
The perception is that everybody cheats all the time. Nobody cares about this or that or anything else. And what we're starting to see now, we're seeing more aggressive descriptions of what men and women are doing now. And this reputation that, well, if you're a guy, you're supposed to be some sort of player. It's supposed to be accepted. It doesn't sound like it's being accepted as much as it used to be or used to hear about. You used to hear,
mm-hmm.
oh, he's a player. Oh. He's this, he's that. I don't
exactly what I was saying.
I don't seem to hear
okay.
that argument as much as I used
okay.
to.
Okay, I'm sorry,
yeah.
We got 5 minutes left. I want to give it to Sapphire and Rima. Sapphire, would you like to add on to that?
Well, I want to just connect that a little bit to what I believe Hot Rod said about agreeing with that women do cheat as well, because and connect that to homosexuality. Some women may feel that a man has cheated on them so much that they'll think that they'll just be with a woman instead, and women will cheat on them too. And sometimes it can be a little worse because now a woman, you're thinking that we're more connected with our emotions and that you would understand what it would feel like to be cheated on by a man, and so it may hurt more when a woman cheats on you, and now you're just fucked. Now you're just lost. You don't know what to do. So, I mean, I think it's a weird conundrum, like, to figure out, you know, who cheats more. I think it's just a matter of, I don't even know, honestly.
Matter of the person, based on the person.
Okay, so let me go to Rima now. Rima, what do you like to add on to that?
Well, I'd like to throw a curveball in this conversation. I'd like to talk about certain kinds of guys that cheat and who they choose to cheat with. So how about grown man scenario?
Damn.
Let's give a scenario.
Listen,
so how about
I want to hear this.
How about a grown man, let's say a 40-year-old man who's married to a 40-year-old woman. They've been married for some time. And
are you
what,
talking
what about
me
a man... Huh?
Come on, Hot Rod.
Are you
let's
talking about me again?
What?
Come on, let's
Hot Rod, I think
you're going to
expose him. Come on, let her say her point.
Well, let's say about this man, what if he chooses to cheat with a 20-year-old girl? What does that say about that type of man that chooses to cheat with that type of woman at that type of age in a married relationship?
Do you want me to answer that or K-Dog?
Yes, answer that. Answer that, Hot Rod. I would love to hear any one of you.
Oh, that's
you know what it is? That man is looking for some young meat. You know what, basically? He's looking for some young meat, and that's the bottom line.
But he figures his wife is too old.
What does that say about the woman? The woman sounds like she got daddy issues.
Yes, she got daddy issues.
True, but overall, that's all true. But also for the man ego, the man self-esteem, that he still got it.
Young
woman. Come on.
Yeah, he's the Mac. Like I said, he wants to be a Mac.
No, at 40 years
so
old.
So he wants to
know,
be like R. Kelly, but okay.
Yeah.
I guess including all the peeing on people, perhaps.
Exactly.
Not
the
golden
peeing, shower.
Because we don't know if
people.
He's peeing, but you know what I mean.
I think he'll even give her his
Hershey stains and whatnot.
Hold on. There's 2 minutes left. I have to give it to Brother B. Brother B.
Yes,
this is your
Brother B opinion.
What up, Brother B?
Hi, Brother B.
What up? Greetings and salutations, everyone. What did I walk into?
Brother B.
Because all I heard was King and R. Kelly.
You got an idea of how the show went.
Yeah, exactly.
Basically, who cheats more, woman or man? That's the bottom line. Let's go ahead. What do you think about cheating?
I think it's equally. I don't think you can really put anything. Listen, if you itch for a scratch, it is what it is. I said, I think it's equally. I don't think, you know, listen, men may be more doggish about it, but women are more discreet. That's why, you know, that's why they don't get looked at like that, because they're discreet. They know how to keep their mouth shut, whereas with dudes, it's just like, yo, you can't have your girlfriend coming over to your house where your wife or your girlfriend lives with you. You can't do that.
Women, however,
the 40-year-old. We were talking about a 40-year-old man with a 20-year-old girl. Talk to me about that. That's when you came in on the R. Kelly part.
Oh hell no, hell no. Listen. First of all, at 40 years old, why can't you find a 40-year-old woman? Because usually they're in their peak around that time. So why you messing with a 20-year-old? What, you want to feel a daddy-daughter type thing? That's disgusting.
That's what I said. I said that goes with the woman. The woman must have some kind of daddy issues if she wants to even date a man who's 20 years older than her.
Wow, okay.
Maybe you guys are messing with little girl. No, man.
So give me a woman that's around my age.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
65. The older the better. Because some of them know how to cook and they'll treat you better. They'll treat you better. Some of them, they already seasoned veterans.
What was the expression? Old bones make great soup? I think it's the expression.
Damn right. Damn right.
Damn right it does.
Sean, you're disgusting.
Oh, my goodness.
But Sapphire, Rima, Keisha, Brother B, K-Dog. And Sean Black, guys, thank you so much for a great show tonight. Do this again.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you, too.
We're talking more about cheating. And as always, ladies and gentlemen, The pleasure. Ladies and gentlemen, the pleasure was all yours.
Yours.
After all, I don't cheat. I have never cheated in my life before.
Oh, boy.
You just gave yourself up, brother. You know, we just had a lightning storm. I think we know where the lightning came from.
Exactly. You better watch out, Hot Rod.
Hot Rod, you cheated on your diet. You cheated on your diet before, so you never cheated.
Oh, man.
Oh, my goodness. Good night, y'all.
Good night,
y'all.
Peace out.